This channel 2 over. This is channel 2 over. Continuation of the visit with Ms. Patterson and Fell on Saturday morning, the 9th of November, 1968, the day of the Gator Bowl of Florida and Georgia. And this is continuation of that visit. All that visit is on channel 2 right. And this is the end of channel, the continuation of channel 2 right. And this is channel 2 over. Channel 2 over. And the end of the visit with Ms. Patterson and Fell on Saturday, the 9th of November, 1968.
Earth. And then the dead begins to come back then.
Yeah. So now when that angel comes through and sees that mark on the head, now what is that? Is that Armageddon?
Yes, that's what Armageddon is. That is the battle of God the Almighty.
Yeah.
The Bible says.
Yeah.
When he takes vengeance against earth,
yeah,
and smites off all the wicked. In other words, he don't take judgment against nobody, God, without first giving them an opportunity. And they can't see now.
Yeah.
That is the work, the same thing went on in Noah's days is going on now.
Mm-hmm.
The witnesses are showing more love for the people than anybody on earth does. And sowing seed and all of that, telling them what's fixing to take place. But some's hearing it, some isn't. But one is hearing it is coming out. And the Bible says, come out of my people. Says, for their sins has reached the heaven, and he is fixing to take vengeance upon them.
Yeah.
And, but now that is what is fixing to happen. But the majority of the people is going to carry right on with this other because it's the easy way. The witnesses has a hard way.
Now, come out of them, my people. Is that, where's that text?
That 17th chapter of Revelation.
Yes. Don't look it up. I know.
17th chapter of Revelation, you know, Babylon is false religion.
Yeah.
And that's what it's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the 18th chapter.
And the picture of that is, it reminds you of that, angel at in Egypt at the
the same thing as they first born in that family, yeah. You know, was and he said that he will give instruction to go through the earth and smite all old folks, maiden, little children, all that doesn't have the mark in his forehead.
Yeah.
And you know, a guy, this is something I couldn't hold a tape when I first went to study. That whenever they said that children would be destroyed too, I couldn't hardly take that because those children hadn't done anything. But they're considered the seed of the serpent. In other words, you wouldn't find a bed of rattlesnakes out there, and you wouldn't kill the mother and dad and leave a dozen little ones there. It'd go up and be just like the parents, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And the Bible says you can save your seed, you and your seed, you see. A child, in other words, is judged by his parents. And either the child, in other words, the parents should begin to think. Because if they lose life, the child lost it also. Mm-hmm. Unless he's of age and taking his stand himself, you see. Mm-hmm. As he gets a certain age, he's responsible for his own sin. But
look at that.
Mm-hmm. But after, you know, beforehand, they're not responsible for their own sin.
I'm telling you, they're going to have a time over at that football game.
And I don't get wet. In other words, don't the Bible, Timothy, say that there'll be more love or pleasure than they have God? Look how the world is going for pleasure.
Yeah.
Football, baseball, basketball. Of course, basketball is not quite as horse races and things like that. They just always pleasure this day and time. The most restless generation has ever been.
Yeah.
More they have, more they want.
Yeah.
Nothing satisfied.
I can't, maybe I've had trouble just picturing what pleasure it is to get in the car and drive 100 or 2 miles at the worst time when the traffic is the thickest.
Is the worst. It was a preacher. In.
And go sit in a huge crowd when
it looks like the last thing you'd want to be in is a big crowd.
The preacher in Folkston, Georgia, one time, he told the next day in the pulpit, I wasn't told it on myself. I think about a preacher taking that time or something like that. He went over there at one of these bowl games, and he said that he got up there and put the seat next to the top in order to get up high, you know, keep anybody from getting in his way. And said this couple was drunk, sat back of him, and they got sick. And so they vomited all over his back and everything. So, in other words, he was condemning them, but he didn't have been there as that. If he'd been doing what he ought to be, he wouldn't have been there. Well, I wasn't told that. But, so they vomited all over him. Tell me, that old lady that family, she's up in her ages, her penny boat. And she told me, she says, baby, whenever it all begins to make a picture in your mind, she says, that's the most peace in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Is that so that God's way, in other words, having faith, God, you have got to have faith. No, how can you have faith when you don't know him and not understand his purposes, why these things have been, how it's been, the reason he's left these things go on like it, he's permitted the sin on this earth. Why has he did it? And all of that, and then the provision that he's made for his people, then you can begin to appreciate the, you know, what he has, he's offered us. But you, I mean, and you can have faith in what he's promised after you know why he's let all these things exist like it is.
You've been to these little Methodist and Baptist Sunday schools,
no, I've been to them, raised in them,
study sessions like that. Well, now, why can't they put their mind to the text like this?
Well, you know, because their mind, their ways is not, it's evil, most of them. They don't have time. God reveals the things to his people. They can read. I knew one man was, I mean, highly educated. When I say he and his wife both, he said he had read the Bible through, told me how many times, said, it don't make sense. Well, he didn't write, read it with a right motive to understand it. And God says the wicked reads and reads and they'll never understand it, but the righteous will understand it.
That's right.
And you see, whenever the disciple class was standing there, and Christ never spoke only in parables before. And whenever that they could understand what they said, he says, what wouldn't they give to understand and see what you see and understand what you understand? But the people couldn't understand it. And he was speaking right before by the free of that disciple class, I understood what he was saying. But God, we had this poor Minnie and Cora. They ate mighty poorly. You know, they didn't have food like we had it. Get anything they wanted. They take their money and use it in the service, just like Leola does. She has very little to live on. But now she lives in a simple way. People give her clothes and things that they outgrow and all like that. She takes them, has and things and all like that for herself.
Yeah.
They take her money to get out and hunt and study with the people. Now the people they study with, they don't pay them for that. That's their service to the Lord.
Uh-huh.
It's giving their time. And this little old Cora and Minnie was going out there to the cross, I think it is, out of the Gangrel, it's 6-7 miles, I think. And it was a Thomas territory out there, and Mr. Thomas gave the land to the church. So they had a church there, Bethel Church. And Sam, who's preaching, making up it, he preached there. And Leola called on him one time, and he told Leola he knew it wasn't no hell, and he'd been knowing it for a long time. But he says that you can't tell the people that. He says he knew it by the scriptures, so the scriptures wouldn't back it up. And he says, only thing I can, says I can't find nothing to matter with what you all teach. But he says, let's all go together and try to convert the world. Well, he always says, we're not able to convert the world. We're just hunting God's people that is in the world. And but anyway, Cora and Minnie was going out there and studying with Mr. Thomas and his wife, which that it gave the land for the church there and had been a big, you know, things in it, helped run it. And so his son stopped calling Minnie down the road and told them, says, I'm telling you, don't go back up there to my daddy's house no more. Said, because if you do, says, you'll be sorry. Cora says, are you threatening us? He says, take it any way you want to, but says, you better not go back up there. And Cora says, well, I'm coming as long as they want me. Well, in other words, they face death whenever they're doing things like that. And of course, better many one of them been killed. In 2 weeks' time, that man was buried. They told Cora and them. You see how God got him out of the way, don't you?
I mean.
And Brother Thomas was baptized when I was. We've baptized together.
But now let me get that straight. Now that's that was Cora.
That was Cora. And many, you know, they were sister in law.
Yeah.
And they went on the studies together, them old women like they were.
Yeah. And this was up towards La Crosse.
Uh huh. I was there up there at La Crosse.
At La Crosse. That's more than 6 miles. That's way up there.
No, must have been La Crosse. There's another place right out of Gainesville. Right? I forget, it's a Methodist church out there.
Yeah. And this was out in that Methodist church in the territory there.
And it was Mr. Thomas's son that threatened Cora and Minnie.
Now, Mr. Thomas was a preacher?
No, Mr. Thomas was, you know, one that he didn't preach that, but he'd give the land for the church, and he hit with it.
Yeah,
you know,
and they were studying with him.
Hey, darling. How you feel this morning?
Huh?
And he was heckin' with the church, I should say. It was him, you know, his brother, his son, threatened Cora and me.
Yeah, yeah.
And told him they better not come back up there.
Yeah.
And in 2 weeks' time, he was there.
Well, y'all have a good trip.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was Phil. He came in with the boy. We talked about the dog. He had a piece of carpet out there when I was there. I'll tell a little story about him, and we knocked off and came on home, and I apologize for staying so long. That's the end of this visit with Fell and Mabel Patterson on Saturday the 9th of November 1968, and I just found out that Florida lost 51-0 on this big Gator Bowl game. I don't know why they have to run up the score so much. This is a channel... Two over, about 150. Channel two over, about 150. And that's the end of this visit. Now here's another visit on Election Day, Tuesday, the 5th of November, 1968, that I'll transfer. Just a very short one. We talk about fruitcakes and nice things. And this was a visit on Tuesday, the 5th of November, 1968. On Election Day, this is a short tape, on Tuesday, the 5th of November, on Election Day, and this is the beginning of this little tape. Mabel and Phil are out on the carport. It's so pleasant, warm. Ms. Davidson was visiting with them when I drove up.
Being down here.
Yeah,
and
I should have stayed in it.
Head to the dinner at the park.
Is it time for yellow rice again?
Yeah. Florence done jumped on me about that yellow rice.
Yeah.
She says, if I'll just come over there, Big Mama, I'll cook it, you just show me how. She said, if I'm unable to cook it, get it to the floor.
Yeah.
She just come over here and cook it. Me show her how.
Yeah.
How to
do. Do you go to see Florence for the record?
She offered to take a hand in that.
I want to come over here, you know, and do the cooking.
Yeah.
And I just sit down and tell her how.
Yeah.
She wanted me to write a cookbook, Florence did. That's Ruby's daughter up here, and she married Dr. Van Arnold. And says she wanted me to come over here and me to tell her everything I could cook.
Yeah.
And she wanted to write it down.
Why don't you all...
I made a beef stew one time, and I carried some of it over there. And those kids liked it so well whenever she... when that little boy got sick, the oldest one.
Yeah.
He was delirious, and Florence said, now you know it was good, so the whole time he was delirious, that he was telling us he wanted some big mom meat too.
Oh, yeah. The recipe, sure.
Well, it is not. Anything anybody else cooks is better than what you cook anyway.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you, I ate it at my cousin's house.
But down there now, she's a cook. She used to go when they first moved here. She don't go now until all the children come home.
I didn't know that. She's a cook.
Oh, my land, really good. I'll just give her to cook. Boy, she can make cakes of American yummy.
Oh.
She really can. We give it to good cook.
Well, I've seen the cakes down there. I'd go in and use telephone or something.
Well, you didn't taste that.
No.
His wife's nephew was staying with
him. Yeah, but why? Why are you
with him?
His nephew was staying over there with him. He'd come up to the house when he was home. And I had just taken about, it was either 4, 5, 6 fruitcakes out of the stove and had them on the counter. I just had to cut one of them cakes. I said, son, I can't cut them because they're hot. And I said, if you cut them hot, I said, they're, you know, crumble, hungry. But the next night, he was right back over there. He says, I want some of that fruitcake tonight, a cup of coffee. So I got up and cut it for
him. I cooked some banana nuts.
I bought fruitcake.
Yeah,
but
Mommy
made fruitcake.
Hey.
He said he voted for Wallace today.
He said he voted for Wallace, good.
And I'd tell her what to get, and then I'd have her put it together.
Yeah. Well, now that would be a service to the community. I don't know
whether...
It would
take but a few minutes to make one. Make to get your fruit cut up.
I've got a chopper.
And if you can't buy a sister and a half a, you know, half a sister, now.
You can.
Mm-hmm. It's all cut up, and the orange peel is cut up. But the pineapple you can buy in the slices. And I like to cut it as long as I can, you know, the pineapple. And I like to have the citrus that way. Of course, that holds
I've
it together.
I've noticed that, Big Mama, in slices, in some of the supermarkets, they have it packaged up like meat.
Well, you'll find it here. You'll find the pineapple in slices, but you won't find that citrus in halves. It used to come in halves.
I know it.
I like to take that slice and then it holds it together to keep it from, you know, crumbling up.
Oh, and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to cut it in the biggest slices I can get.
Huh.
I think keeping your fruitcake in the refrigerator will help it.
Well, I like to mellow mine up in a lard can with apples around it. And then let it stay there 2 or 3 weeks, then it's going to put in the refrigerator somewhere.
Have you ever poured anything
over? I don't do that. I'd
well,
try to buy if they
poured
something on
mine. What does apples do?
It melts. It'll take every bit of that juice out of them apples into that fruitcake.
Well, who'd ever thought of that?
And you can take...
You put one particular right down in the middle of it.
And
the,
you can take...
The whole
you can take layer cake and, you know, slice it. And then you put an apple in there. And it'll never get dry.
That's right.
you know, people think my fruitcake, I put something on it.
Yeah.
The way it tastes, but I don't put it on it. And I don't put
well,
no liquid in it. It's
when you gonna make yours?
Just as soon as we can get together and pick out these nuts.
Oh, you got nuts to pick out?
Mm-hmm. You can't afford to buy them. What we used to give 99 cents for that big package, that's $1.80 something. So I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you want about 3 pounds of those things for the cake.
Wow.
I mean, that recipe will make 2 cakes, but you want about 3 pounds of nuts in it.
Maybe, you know. Yeah.
That it, the nuts and the cherries. I tell them to buy just all the cherries they can afford. Their pocketbook will afford. the cherries. And then the nuts, I want at least 3 pounds,
yeah.
You know, full of them. I generally have a dish pan in full of nuts, and I really go to make them, but I make about 4 or 5 up at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Go down there and make Fred Wood, let me have a new wash tub, and I wash it good, and I make up my cake in it, and then I wash that tub and carry it back down, and I tell them not to get the tag off of it.
Oh, really?
I've done that for years. I nearly make around, used to make around 40 or 50 pounds of every Christmas. fruitcake.
How about one of them little foot tubs? That wouldn't be big enough, would it?
My dishpan holds as much as that does. But you see, you can, you know.
But what about your batter? Do you beat it with a beater before you put it in?
No, I do some. I beat my eggs sometimes. But his mother, I take a pound of butter, pound of sugar, and a dozen of eggs, and 5 cups of flour. You take three plain flour and 2 step rice. And you put in, when you cream your sugar and butter good together, then you break in an egg and 2 tablespoons of flour. You know, you just rotate it like that to get all that flour in there. The eggs is all broke. And then you talk about good, now that's good. That's his mama's recipe.
That's like pound cake.
Mm-hmm. It's a
pound cake
recipe. I used to wouldn't eat them until I got where I'd bake them myself. I didn't like them. But that stuff I don't like, I leave out of it.
The recipe that I have came from Betty Crocker's cook-off recipe. It was one of those that I got a lot of money for. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend gave it to me 20 years ago, and she was like, she gave me the recipe.
With all that citrus and all in there.
That's all. You can't go up that hard and save your life. You'll spend $8 to $10. The stuff it takes to go in. And I mean, that's not counting your flour and the stuff you got at home.
Oh, my children, the only thing that they found talks
about. Citrus out the door and I'd eat it by itself.
I bet you like licorice too.
Well, it didn't cost as much as it does now.
I was listening to see who's girl that is, and she was to make a fruitcake one time, and she said, well, what are we going to use for the batter? I said, it don't sound good to me. I said, I'm going to make the pound cake batter. I said, can we put it in there? So I sat down and made the pound cake, and she put all that fruit in it, and I liked it, and from then on, I've had that in my head. I tell them someone's got to write it down for it, Rick. I'm going to forget it. And Iris McCrea down there in the store when I gave it to her one day. And she said it was a hit of Ocala folks banks for that recipe. She just wrote it on the envelope. And her people wouldn't eat fruitcake until she got that recipe. And
I
she
think
said,
I'll make one on your recipe.
Well, it'll make about two.
Miss Davidson, last Christmas, you know, I had a fruitcake there, and she had some of them. And she sliced some, and she put it all on the plate. She said, this is the one I made. It's the same recipe. This is the one I made.
She let them know which
one. She let them know which one was Mama.
In other words, Mama wanted the praise for it, didn't she?
Mama did. She got it, too. She gets her praise.
Well, I do.
Children soon learn ways to.
Oh, yeah. I used to make a mighty good brown caramel cake. Diana can make one, too. I like her recipe better than mine because it's easier to make than mine. Hey, honey. So I want you to leave here at 6:20 and cuts back about 12:30, isn't it? And then another leaves at 11, 20 minutes to 11. And this one leaves at 7:30.
You have to leave that chicken.
And she just got in?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long day, isn't it?
It is. For their age, I think it's just a real long day. That, I think it's.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, I get the watch. That was $100 and something. I would have crowned him if he'd got a watch that
one. Dang it.
So, well, y'all come back.
Bye.
Bye, honey.
Well, tell me what you did this morning, Mabel.
Trying to get a car fixed. We had a pretty good study. The rest of them didn't come to one but Leota. The mm-hmm. others were sick this morning.
Yeah.
But he was raised up north, and she's been in Florida for a long time. They own this place over here on River Stick Road. Right at the turn for Mr. Smith, going down across the railroad to the place that you left. Right? That's where she lives. But the subject was this morning, does the dead live again?
Mm-hmm.
That was unarrested.
Mm-hmm.
And I venture to say we had 10 or 15 scriptures
yes.
that we had to hunt up.
Oh, you had nice scriptures that morning. Huh?
Well, I mean, in this lesson, might need a whole chapter with scriptures mm-hmm. to refer back to, showing mm-hmm. that, you know, proving, mm-hmm. you know, how the dead was resurrected.
Yeah.
How they came back.
I like to see them.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. That whole book, you know, it's all condensed down, you know. You don't have to study.
Oh, you wouldn't want to take much out of time.
And, about an hour is about as much as you can really hold it.
Yes.
And it's really good, but that Leola's good, I'm telling you. She and Cora were two of the best teachers I ever saw.
Yeah.
And, but Cora, you know, she's in there too, but Leola, I'm telling you, her and Cora was a genius. And Dr. Jones was good too.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead too. But he didn't. He'd pick up the Bible and turn to a scripture. But he didn't have to. He could quote it.
Yeah.
I never seen a scripture he couldn't quote.
Yeah.
Dr. Jones, he knew it. And the last time he came out and had a study with us, we were meeting up that in his fears at Micanopy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so sick and it was so cold.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't long before he was dead. And he would, when he got up to dismiss us, he just reeled. Rocking, you know, he was so weak.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't believe, they say it's no reverse yell. They go to they can't go.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's right. They go to they can't. No return of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay their own expenses. You don't pay the expenses, they pay.
Yeah?
So you don't pay them nothing. You know, so Dr. Jones put in 150 hours a week, a month. And then take care of his practice.
Well, that's phenomenal, isn't it?
He'd have you in his office. And when that time comes for him to go to a certain, he says, I'll be back a certain length of time. And he spoke every Wednesday at 10 o'clock out at the old folks' home. And they look forward to it. And when that time comes, he was in his office, he'd just sit there for that hour, for he's gone. He mm-hmm. had nothing for him.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't.
And he does not go.
He knocked right off. When that time came for him to go, he went. And in other words, they put the service first.
Yeah.
And then anything else comes second.
No pay.
No pay. You don't pay. Now all those speakers, they go from here to Tampa, Lake City, Live Oak, Jacksonville, anywhere that they are asked to speak, they go, but they go at their own expense.
Well, they figure that's their contribution.
Yes, they are. They make their living, and what they do in the service, that's free. They don't charge nobody for it. Christ says nothing, too. You know that.
Well, maybe you all don't have to have a great big account books and all your expenses.
Oh, well, the Kingdom Hall has to be, the light bill has to be paid at all, and now it's people in the United States that's witnesses, you know, the Coca-Cola King, you know, one of them is witnesses. Canada, in the Canada Fair, Coca-Cola, and Studebaker Motor Company, they got, one of them is a witness. And, you know,
Well, they don't help you all.
They don't help us individually. But, Kingdom Hall wants to be built anywhere. Like we own one of them.
Yes.
They write into the society, anybody over there, anywhere.
Yeah.
It don't make no difference what country it is. If they need a Kingdom Hall, they'll let them have the money.
Uh-huh.
And it's interest free. Uh-huh. You don't pay no interest on
yeah.
it. If you pay anything, it won't be over 1%.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so that's the way the Kingdom Hall was built. They was asking me, want to borrow, get money to buy build this Baptist church in Micanopy, want to know how we built the Kingdom Hall up there. I told them, well, the society, you know, people right then that's millionaires, and any money that's needed anyway is sent. And then you pay, you know, the members up there. Whatever you want to put in, you can put it in. They don't ask you for nothing.
Not like going to the nigger church. Seemed like every time when I was on here, you know how it is, Sal, about every time they sing a hymn, they pass the book.
Oh, yeah.
And you know how they do it, they say, oh,
yeah. Strickland in Waco, he was one man.
Yeah.
And he said he went over his lumber inspector, yeah, taking up lumber for the coastline railroad. And he went over out from Valdosta there somewhere. And he went to church with Dobson, was their name. And they was making up money to buy the preacher automobile. And old man Strickland said that he was sitting there and said, Mr. Dobson hadn't opened his mouth. Mr. Strickland said, what were them Dobson's missions?
Oh, I'll tell you, his name was Tom.
$1. Old man Jim Strickland done that himself. He said that Mr. Dobson got up, walked up there, put $10 on the table. Said the time he got back, Dobson's wife says, J.T. Strickland of Waco, $25. So he jumped up and said, God damn. He said it wasn't nothing to do with going up there laying down. He said that was one time it backfired on him.
Him and Tom Dobson.
I got to see him a pot.
Been drunk about 3 days and said they felt bad and decided that the best thing that they could do was to go to church. And when they started church, they got up and somebody, not the preacher, but somebody got up and told them about how bad the preacher needed an automobile to go to different places where he had to go and all. And they wanted to make up money to buy him an automobile. And said they started off, we'd give $100. And nobody said nothing. We got on down till this old man Strickland. It was Tom Dobson's church, you know. He was a member of that. Said he decided to get things started. Tom Dobson, $10. He said they thanked him, you know, and all like that, but you know, and there's 2 free more give $10 and some $25 and all like that. After a while, Dobson's wife said, J.T. Strickland, $25. He said he jumped up, his old little old peg leg man. He jumped up, he said, God damn. He said, what was wearing him said he didn't have $25. He was a tax collector in Ware County a good many years. And night or two before the election, he gave a barbecue out on the river there. Place out there, and they go out there and have a barbecue, you know, and drink that old open moonshine liquor and all like that. He says, one night, they told him, said, all right, fellas, says, any of y'all want me to kiss your butt tonight, said, I'll do it. But said, now you just wait till tomorrow night after election, said, then you kiss mine. They said the old man had got drunk enough, that's what he said. And I tell you, them fellas left yesterday.
Ed Smith might have told you years ago, down here, where Carson was building this new house down here.
Yeah.
I had that whole field, you know, before this road was put out here. And they are the prettiest things, everybody can tell you. Those things are flawless. And the first time or two you pick, it takes about 2 weeks to get where they be uniform. You know, you just scratch it.
Yeah.
Then I would have picked the next pick, and I would have picked around $2,500 worth. And the 6th day of November, that freeze coming here. It wasn't a frost, it was a freeze.
Yeah.
And it killed.
Yeah.
Well, that made me sick.
Oh, yeah.
Had lettuce one time, a fortune I'd have made on that, and cabbage.
Yeah.
But the freeze, because we picked the lettuce that day, and it froze. It was freezing before we got out of the field.
Yeah.
And it froze it that night. And, you know, I lost that. I lost that.
Yeah.
pretty to let you know, lady you are. Yeah. Only we're paying two and a half a handle stuff. Right here.
That was a commission lettuce patch. I guess it's about 6 acres of it. About hay for that bottom down yonder.
Uh-huh.
This end of it. And it was fixed mighty nice and it was set out nice. And the day we set out them plants, I hauled the water. And Mabel stayed in the field with the niggas and set it out. And I hauled the water. And it was just about this time when we got through. And we come to the house and dressed and went to Auburn and went to Jacksonville that night.
Uh-huh. What are you
trying to get a woman to do something that not to do something other than she really.
You know, that one that time, you know, I went the next day to Minnesville to see View Affair.
Oh, was that?
That was the trip. That time.
Yeah, went to see her sister.
It wasn't cool then, you know, we were setting that stuff then.
What was I got?
You stayed there in Jacksonville. And
what did I stay there for? What did I go for?
Of course, we'll need you here by yourself. You know, I used Ram's car, you had ours over there to go where you wanted to.
What is a lettuce bed?
Well, it's just like planting a cabbage bed. You've seen that?
Just
no, eggplant bed.
Oh, that's the bed
mm-hmm.
where you put the plants.
Mm-hmm. You raise
the plants. No, that's
plant.
Where you raise the
plants. Raise the plants.
On the bed.
Yeah.
And then pull them up from there and then transplant them.
Yeah. Well, it's just an old plant bed, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah. Yeah. And pour that lettuce water. And we set some lettuce that, we set that whole field. And I had one of the niggas, well, I think both those niggas is dead now. And they come in the field, I told them, I said, all right, I'd give you so much more than I do the rest of what I'd give them, I said, if you leave the field. And if they put them on the ground, they'll sell us at the stuff. And whenever they got to the end of the road, they didn't stand there and blow. They just turned right around with the dropping rod on back down the next road.
Well, now, I'd like to have seen that.
Yeah, boy, that was beautiful work, I'll tell you right now. Old Lee Jones is dead now, but he said I knew better how to work a nigga than anybody he had ever seen. Said I could work the life out of him and he didn't know it.
Yeah.
But I always had mighty good luck with him. You know, working.
Yeah. And now, how did you manage at that time? You had these two good ones.
I had those two good ones. I had a field full of, you know, you get chillings and all, you know, set them.
Yeah.
And I had some of the larger ones, you know, dropping them.
Yeah.
And then I had some watering coming right behind watering them.
Yeah.
So you had to water them.
Yeah.
And we got through our ring about this time. We set that about 6 acres, wasn't it, Phil?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And we set one.
And day. These two went ahead and set the pace.
They set the pace. I told them, I said, I'm giving you $1, $1.50 more than I do the rest of them. And money was money then.
Yeah.
If you leave the field.
Yeah.
And it was a woman and her daughter.
Uh-huh.
And they had put them on the ground. Old Jesse Walker alone the hip bolt, you know, and I had him laying off the road.
Yeah.
And that day he couldn't stop. He couldn't slow down because they were pushing him for the road.
Now, what was he doing?
He had the mule. He was laying off the
yeah.
road, bedding them.
Yeah.
You know, for the plant.
Yeah.
And we were pushing him so fast that he couldn't slow down. He wouldn't do a lot of talking.
Yeah.
But he couldn't do it with the right time.
Yeah.
But he did that was a beautiful lady. My sister and then they came by here. Say we was cutting in the clothes that night.
Uh-huh.
She said she could have taken it like I did. I said, well, the things I can help, I don't worry about.
Yeah.
That was God's work. I got it down. I did my part.
Yeah.
And if he didn't see 50 years to collect on it, that was his business.
Yeah.
And so he didn't know what. Now, what worries me, guys, for me to do something I could help, if I could have helped that and kept it from happening, then it would have worked.
Yeah.
The things that I can't help, I don't worry about it.
And that's the 6th of November.
6th day of November. That's free. No, that was on my up yonder. I don't know But it was pretty early that year. I don't know the date of that, but it, when I lost my egg plant, that was the 6th of November. I won't forget that, and it froze them bushes apart. I would have made, I imagine, $10,000 or better that fall if it hadn't freed up for me.
Price was good. And you had a good
they were paying 2.5 and 3 and 3.5 right here. Just put them on the platform and get that from them. Well,
yes.
It's just one of those things. It wasn't funny.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But that was a pretty lettuce patch, and the cabbage was pretty, too. But, you know, I used to think cabbage would stay in cold weather, but they wouldn't. I mean, the fruit, anything like that, it'll kill them. It'll burn the tops of them where you can't get them out of them.
Yeah.
Of course, you can eat them.
But you can't eat 10 acres.
You can't ship them, because it'll just burn the tops of them. Just like you pour hot water on them. But now collards, yeah, freeze and grow right on them.
What?
A collard. I said,
oh, yes,
yeah, freeze
yes,
and
yes,
grow
yes,
right
yes,
on them.
Yeah.
But cabbage ones. And lots of people throws a bean patch and a cabbage patch by not knowing how to plow them.
I went to place that, the head of the Swanee River, there was down there to bid on some lumber for building bridges, some bridges down there, and built a tremendous bridge across that river there. And the river wasn't much wider than this, but they built a big bridge.
Big levee, anyhow. Big bottom.
And I did need the business mighty bad. I needed it awful bad to furnish that lumber to build that bridges, and that's what they were building it with, cypress lumber. And, old man Jaden went with me. Old man Jaden says, well, Mr. Patterson says, don't be too anxious for that order, for that lumber. Says, bid on it, or says, bid where you would be proud if you get it. He says, don't bid so cheap that you'd be sorry you got it. And I said, I need the business, but I said, I think you're right. So I put in a reasonable bid, all right. Oh, my goodness, it wasn't nothing. That man furnished a very little of it. Fell down on it and went in bankruptcy. And I was the only one then that could fill it. Him, I got paid for it, damn him. I got paid for it, damn. I don't say it, I helped the people up or nothing like that, but they paid what the lumber was worth then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That old squeeze, that always does it can, won't
it? Yes, sir, that's right. And that man didn't have to, he didn't have to put in a bid like that to write it. But he put in a mighty cheap bid and went busted down, went bankrupt. It was during Depression, and my mill was the only one I knew that was running.
And my mama is a big lawyer. His son's a big lawyer. And his son's wife, I mean, they're money people. I don't mean no nickels and dimes like we have. And his his son's wife, you know, she came up to her daddy's funeral. And I was saying, you know, her mother was with us. Her daddy never, you know, he would go to the seminars, but he never had been immersed, anything that way. So Penny came in there and said, I'm sorry, I never seen her for a time or two. And I went to talking to Penny. And I told her the hope she could have for her daddy and began to give her scriptures after scripture. So she went back to Miami. She went you know, got a witness to come to help her. And so she wasn't long before Penny saw it was the truth and she went to study it.
Mm-hmm.
So her husband didn't like it. And his daddy gets on a train or airplane or something, he flew in New York to see about it. And he said, anybody go through those factories up there and see, so they'd be convinced. Said he could find one thing or he could come out of it.
Now, what is that up there?
The factory where these books is printed.
Yeah.
And see, they have their own radio station.
Yeah.
And they have their own farm. And they say the cows, even the government, says they've never seen such cattle. They own that, and they just started with just ordinary cows. And so they've never seen such cows in their life that's on that plantation. I mean, on that farm that they got, that they raise food for that 500 people that eats at one table.
It's a college.
It's a college, too. Gideon College is there, too.
Oh.
Oh, it's a, if you get into it, guy, it's more than you got any idea it is.
Well, now you see, I've heard you all talk right smart. I never.
And now, but anyway, they have several buildings, you know, factories, tremendous buildings. And they had, was building one factory up there, and they wanted this printing press. And they wanted $60,000 to buy one. And they said they just wasn't able to do it. Well, they don't go to the world, the people, the banks, and borrow the money to do what they want to. They do it in the with their own people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the men in this society built it. Built one of them. And you know, like they wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I imagine they got lots of bulk machinery now. And then, of course, you got so many factors up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget how many weights a watchtower and things like that is sent out of that one. Up in the billions.
How do they pay for that? Subscription?
Well, you see, all they ask for is just enough. You know, they send you that twice a month for $1 a year. Well, you know that that's not making the money. But see, all that labor in there is volunteer.
Oh.
Every bit of it. They get the ones that stays there from the president down to the man that's out in the field gets the same thing.
Why, maybe?
$20 a month, and they're going.
Well,
now that's all they get.
They
say that you
keep
pictures. They do. They do. They have.
Now that's what they said. Now, that's what somebody said. Besides, that $20 a month they got. It didn't cost them nothing to get the shoes picked.
Well, they don't. Said, well, they have their own laundry.
That's
they have their own
generous.
Shoe factory.
Yeah.
I mean, where they have sold your shoes all, but that $20 is to buy your clothes.
Uh-huh.
And your clothes and your shoes and things like that you have there.
Well, I wish we'd started early. I'd love
to. And one president of a society, he went to school. He and he's a lawyer for the society.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Truman went to the same school together.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that he is so big, such a big lawyer, and has won so many cases. Until that, even when he walks in the Supreme Court, the highest court it is, he said, when he walks in there, even the judge gets up and sits down with him. Yeah, he won 43 cases in the Supreme Court for the witnesses of the United States. He was getting $15 a month then, they're getting 20 now. And he was offered $65 a year for a lawyer of New York State and refused it. His name is Brother Covington. And little old Minnie, you know, she was a German. She came from Germany over here, and she's 15. And she tried to get her, her citizenship paper. And so they kept, you know, putting her off because she said she was against wars, you know, fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they couldn't, you know, just wouldn't do nothing, they wouldn't come. That's the thing about it, they wouldn't come. So Dr. Jones said, I wrote Brother Covington about it. And I mean, they didn't come from Gainesville. They sent special men from Jacksonville. He had to write those papers up for her. And then they turned around and asked her, whenever they got through fixing the papers, asked her, says, how come you to go to New York for a lawyer instead of getting one around here. And she told me, well, I was just a friend of ours or something. But they didn't want to come in contact with him. Whenever he wrote whoever he did write, they sent me in the government in here to give her those social papers. But I tell you, often try to pay them for anything on one of those books. And they figure that'll pay the bus fare, or street car fare, out of service. And they ever string, they say that comes wrapped around anything, they take that and they make their mops out of it. They take burnt oil and make their ink out of it. And they don't throw nothing away. Not anything. And I reckon it's about the fastest growing organization in the world. And you know, the Bible says that he would call out a bunch of people and he would establish his name upon them. So you know, the only people in the world goes by his name. And Christ says you would be hated for his name's sake. They are hated by every, you can take any denomination you want to despise the Jehovah's Witness.
I didn't know that.
That's right. Any denomination, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, anybody you start, they hate a witness.
Well,
says you will be
that's
hated.
Being right smart.
He said that you will be hated for his name's sake, but says, remember, they hated me first. And so it don't bother us when we scorn the people. It don't bother us at all.
And that,
they cost the right smart to make them, but it'll make two, what I tell you. It'll make two nice cakes around 8 to 9 pounds a piece.
Yeah.
And then they lace along.
Yeah.
She can just keep them right on till next Christmas if she wants.
Yeah, the older they get, the better they are.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, we
and
they
are
not very good unless they get 4, 5, 4, 6 weeks old,
When they're first cooked, you know, they're not yet.
Yeah. And that's the end of this remarkable session on on Election Day, Tuesday the 5th of November 1968, with Phil and Mabel in the carport. It was that warm that they were sitting out in the carport. I kept them out there a little too late. It was dusk when I left, but it's hard to leave over there. And this is the end of that tape. It was Phil and Mabel in the carport on Election Day that evening, the 5th of November, 1968. Now, this is November the 21st. This is Thursday, November the 21st. And this is a continuation from way back at Channel 1 Right, the end of Channel 1 Right. This is a continuation from Channel 1 Right. And this continues the little narrative of Willie Giger, Mary's husband. And this is Channel 2 over. This is Channel 2 over, around 760 now.
Spray my pond back there a couple times a year.
I imagine Willie
would
do it. He's done one of them. He's got a beautiful
pond.
You've
got to spray it.
Sprayer?
Mm-hmm. When Mr.
Well, now, it'd take a little more than I've got.
Yeah, well, big guy took the spray cab with. He puts on a pickup truck.
Now,
big
Paul had a little outfit. I guess it was about that big and about that long. And you just set a barrel in that there thing and hook it up to it.
Yeah.
And you talking about fogging something up,
yeah.
But that was, and the motor in it was, it wasn't that big, about that big motor pulling it.
Yeah.
And you know, me and him, I was with him one night, and he was running the thing for somebody that night. They had to be off, and he was doing the spraying. And we're about 6 miles from Inverness, back in there in them sand hills. And that thing caught a fire back then. And I got out. I got out of the truck, and of course he did too. And just as soon as he stopped it, the thing caught a fire. And of course he started right up and blew the fire out. And
he shut it down again, and it blazed up in fire again. And he had shut it down and let it catch a fire so he could see where a leak was.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, he found that and stopped the leak, tightened the nut, stopped the leak. It was all right.
Yeah.
But you know, if there'd been a lot of people in that truck and that whole thing would have went up.
Oh, no, yeah.
And it had, I reckon.
You tell Paul I need to rig up a little something over there to get rid of them hyacinths. And he might have some little easy suggestion.
He can tell you.
I wouldn't mind paying. Well, I'd pay right smart for it.
When Franklin bought Keita's property back here, I think Norman Keita's going to one. Anyway, that Willie taking his boat and carried them down that water in different places, you know, he couldn't get. And Ben says when anybody could make a boat like that boy had made, said he could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent him to Atlanta to school and paid his Mary's hotel bills and things what he wanted to study for that.
Franklin did.
For that
be a
diesel. I mean, he was those trucks, those diesel
motors. I don't know whether I've
ever seen Willie or not. He's a very unusual boy.
What age? 20,
25? 20, about 23 or 4, I think. But you can take
the Manto fella
now.
The age.
Said he had never seen, heard nobody in Mekinoka, anybody had ever said a whole word about that boy. Said that nobody has never heard nobody say a whole word about
him.
But you see his mother, and you know why, because she's just as nice as she can be.
Yeah.
And a mighty pretty woman,
too. Oh, she does. She looks like her, and her daughter's a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
She had the two children, the girl and the boy. But you couldn't tell who's a mother if you saw them all three together.
Mm-hmm.
Because she lived.
Well, how did Mary get?
He is crazy about Miss Denton.
Oh.
He just loved Miss Denton.
Oh, threw Miss Denton there at the time.
Mm-hmm. But he thinks a lot of Miss Denton. Well, in other words, he helps Miss Denton spray the cows. One of them is sick. Miss Denton don't call on the boys of hers. It's Willie.
Mm-hmm.
So Willie, several Sundays ago, about 2 weeks ago, he worked one of her cows the whole week. I mean, the whole day, you know, on a whole thing.
One of the boys that had a house up there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Ernest?
Yeah, Ernest. His grandson has a trailer up there.
Well, now, is Ernest, has he got money?
Didn't
take care. No, he's always been a two-bit millionaire.
Oh.
He had a business when Paul was down at Ocala. He said the boy had a good business there. Terrazzo tile business and also other tile.
They put it in Freddie Wood's house down there.
He had a good business, but he doesn't look after it himself. He's got men to look after it. He don't do nothing. He don't do nothing. Most of the time he stays over in the house all day. It's air conditioned. Got a nice place.
Over there, his new house?
Yeah, about a $20,000 home over there.
But can he manage that?
I don't know. His wife's working.
He'll get up and dress.
Leave in the afternoon. And they said that he'd go to places. They said he gambles and drinks and all like that. I don't know.
When hunting season comes in, he's down there, goes to the scrubs and stays till it's over. He's down there now.
But it isn't nothing to see in the paper ways. Sued for $3,000-$5,000.
Why, well, he ought to have an interesting time of it then.
He does.
Do you ever talk to him?
Apparently.
Does he talk?
Oh, yeah.
He's got really the best personality of any of them.
Well, Mabel, I've run into him several times. He's over there talking to Buster.
Yeah.
Well, we still go. And I don't remember a word he said. So I never
have. Talking to bust a mountain.
Yeah, bust a mountain.
You talk about that with it. He go out frogging. And he catches from 100 to 150 pounds a night. And he gets $1.50 or 55 cents a pound from him.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Well, of course, he got to clean them.
Yeah.
And he said he had an order now for 500 pounds.
Lord help us.
So he don't make money just one way. That boy is like Peter Wood, but he'll work. It don't make no difference what it is, he'll work. And they said he had a money to give back at that time as he was when he met her. He had enough to buy him a trailer. He bought Mary this year, 68 Impala station wagon.
Yeah.